The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real. Real. Relaxed. Relaxed. But relevant. But relevant. She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
And top of the morning to you. Good morning, good morning. I have my guest co-host, Brother Marcus.
Good morning, Bishop Mary.
Amen. It is the pre-election show right before our big day on November the 5th, and we're grateful you have joined us. Please, by all means, if you're driving, be careful. And if you're home, get a cup of coffee because we have a full agenda. We're going to begin shortly right after this message.
Hi, this is Archbishop Mary Floyd Palmer, presiding bishop of the Philadelphia Council of Clergy, founding pastor of the Samaritan Temple.
And your host of the Bishop Mary Show on WWDB 860 AM.
What kind of power do you have? That is the power of your voice. So use it, don't lose it, and vote. Please vote. Grateful to have you, and we are now excited because we have our United States Senator. We are thankful that Robert Casey is with us this morning. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
How are you?
The Honorable Bob Casey.
Hey, Bishop,
Casey.
How are you?
Wonderful. Great to
good
see
to be
you.
With both of you. Thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. So, we're in the home stretch.
Yes, we are definitely in the home stretch, and we know that you're busy, so we want to get right to it, Senator. Is that okay?
That's great. Thank you.
All right. Well, what are the top three things, Senator, that you want to continue?
Well, as I've often said in this race, I'm running to continue to deliver for the people of Pennsylvania. And the good news is we've been able to come together as a party, and sometimes with Republicans as well, to deliver record amounts of investments in communities all across our state. Not just in big cities like Philly and Pittsburgh, but in small rural communities, small towns, and every place in between. And I want to continue that because as much as we've been able to drive a lot of investment in infrastructure, for example, roads and bridges and water and sewer systems that needed upgrades, high-speed internet so our kids can learn more now and earn more later, as well as helping small businesses with their connectivity to the internet, we also have a long way to go to reduce costs. So I want to continue to work on that, to, in a sense, deliver on that as well. Mm-hmm. And the way we do that, I think, in terms of lowering costs, is helping families with just making ends meet. The child tax credit we should have in place, and we can do this in 2025, the generous version, the life-changing version of the child tax credit we had in 2021. Which reduced childhood poverty in the United States by 40%. In Philly alone, 291,000 children benefited mm-hmm. from that.
That's correct.
But even in small towns, 90% or small rural counties, I should say, 90% of the children benefited. So the child tax credit, helping families with the cost of childcare, giving the middle class a big tax cut. And all of that is possible if we make the right decision on election day to elect people that will go to Washington, as I have, vote against the billionaire tax cuts, vote against the corporate tax cuts, and vote in favor of a middle-class tax cut and a robust child tax credit. That's how you begin to change people's lives. So I think lowering costs is one of the biggest issues we face. And even though we've made some progress, especially on prescription drugs for seniors, that cap is in place for out-of-pocket, or will be in place in January for out-of-pocket costs. But the cap is in place for insulin already at $35 a month. So helping families and seniors, especially with their prescription drug costs, is one way we've delivered, but we got more work to do.
Absolutely. Now, I've seen you at quite a few places here in the surrounding area in Pennsylvania on there. And the one that I thought was pretty interesting was when you were at on Temple's campus, or at a site not far from Temple, with Senator Raphael Warnock, and there were a room full of youth. Mm-hmm. How vital is their voice in this election?
Well, I think young people might make the difference. I think depending on which analyst you talk to, it's probably women will make the difference, or young people, and probably both, right? And I think in both instances, there's going to be a huge vote. All this, you know, all these pundits a couple of weeks ago talking about turnout, or so-and-so wouldn't turn out, or one group wouldn't turn out. I think this turnout will blow the doors off of all those predictions by analysts. I think it's going to be a very high turnout among women, because not simply because women's rights are at stake and we've got to restore Roe v. Wade, but women are also the ones who are often trying to make ends meet to pay for just the weekly or monthly expenses of a family. They're the ones who have to balance the budget and figure out a way to pay for childcare and deal with these high food prices that these big conglomerates are jacking up. And with no fear, these big companies have no fear at all of being the subject of a price gouging investigation like I want to institute for these big companies. You know, if a big company is brought into a court of law by the Federal Trade Commission and in a sense prosecuted for price gouging, I think you'll send a strong message to other big companies that might think twice about jacking up their prices on families.
Especially in Pennsylvania.
But I think...
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes the cost for food has gone up mostly or highest in our state. And so we need a price gouging bill at the federal level. But the reference you made to young people, I think, is critical, because young people know what's on the line here. They know that voting rights, women's rights, and workers' rights are on the line, and it's going to affect their lives for decades going forward. And they also know that our investments in efforts to combat climate change is on the ballot as well. They also know that we want to figure out a way to lower the cost of student debt by getting that monthly payment down so they instead of paying most of their paycheck to pay off a student loan, they can allocate some of those dollars for housing or for other expenses in their lives. So I think young people know so much is at stake, and that's why I think they're going to vote in big numbers.
And you know what I think is very interesting, Senator? You have like rock star status. When I saw you at the other day, everybody was losing their mind. I said, is this Michael Jackson? So I have a question. What's one thing that makes you different from your opponent?
Well, a lot of contrast here. I'm not sure I can find a single issue where we have the same perspective, the same position. Just consider on the big issue of rights, voting rights and democracy. If my opponent's elected, and you already know what I've done, I've already supported the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act,
yes,
and voted to change the Senate rules to pass that bill. So I, in essence, had to vote twice. Change the rule was one vote. Vote for the voting rights legislation was the second vote. But my opponent, if he wins, will be part of a majority for sure, because if he were to be elected, they'll have a majority. He'll block the voting rights bill. So that's one big difference. And women's rights, same thing. I've already voted for the Women's Health Protection Act to restore Roe. He will block that bill. So there won't be, we'll have the same circumstance we have today. And then finally, on workers' rights, the right to join a union is really under threat now. And I think that's where the corporate far right is going next, to rip away the underpinning of our economy by taking away the right to organize a union. And again, my opponent will be a senator who will block that that bill, the PRO Act, the Protecting the Right to Organize Act. So that, there are just three differences on basic rights right there. But also, he wants to repeal the infrastructure law, which has brought investments, as I mentioned, in roads and bridges and high-speed internet all across the state. He wants to repeal the law that reduced the cost of prescription drugs. You know, we have that insulin cap I mentioned. We also have the out-of-pocket cost at $2,000 a month on all prescription drugs for seniors starting in January. He wants to repeal that bill. So there's not much we agree on. And I think our records are different. I've been a senator delivering for the state. He was a hedge fund CEO, mostly investing in our adversaries like China.
Well, there's
he gave more than one. So people, those of you that are listening, please, by all means, listen intently. As we close, because I know we're running tight, so are you. What is the favorite quote that keeps you up and keeps you going in your job as our U.S. Senator?
Well, I think the one thing that has always inspired me is what's inscribed on the finance building in Harrisburg. It's where I worked for 10 years as a public official. And it was inscribed there in the 1930s. They wanted to have inspirational quotes that focus on public service. And this one says the following: all public service is a trust given in faith and accepted in honor.
Wow.
And I think it's the best description I've ever heard, not only about public service, but also about what an election is. That when people vote, they're giving you power, an opportunity to improve their lives. That's the trust that they give you. And the only answer for a public official is to return the favor, in a sense, return the trust with honor. And I think the honor isn't just about being honest. Honor also means delivering for the people that sent you there. So that's something that inspires me and guides my work as a public official.
Well, Senator, we are claiming and hoping for your sake that you'll be able to continue to be our incumbent here in Pennsylvania. And we certainly are hoping that the people will use their right and their voice to vote. I thank you so much for squeezing the Bishop Mary Show in on me this morning. And we will keep you in your prayers as you travel. And we'll see if victory will prevail. God bless you.
God bless you, Senator.
Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you.
And we're excited here on the Bishop Mary Show, along with my guest co-host, Brother Marcus, is here.
Yes, I'm in the building.
We have the leading man of the state.
Absolutely.
The head guy himself.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would say head honcho. You know, the one that is going to fearlessly lead us as we are fastly approaching Election Day. None other than the Honorable Governor of my state, my governor, Governor Josh Shapiro. Good morning, sir.
Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. With that lead up, man, I don't know, it's all downhill from here. Thank you.
Well,
good to talk to you.
It's
great to talk to you as well. We're so glad that you're with us today, but we want to get right into it because you know tomorrow is going to be a great moment in history. And I wanted to know, what were your thoughts on the rally that took place with what happened at Madison Square Garden in New York City? I just wanted to know, what were your thoughts when we think back over all of what happened? What were your thoughts? What were you thinking?
Well, unfortunately, this is what we've come to expect from Donald Trump, right? Attacking our fellow Americans. I think it is dangerous. I think it puts everybody at risk. Look, whether he's attacking someone because of who they worship or what they look like or how they came to this country, it makes us all less safe, right? And so this guy has a long history of attacking his fellow Americans in a way that undermines our safety and security. I think that's dangerous. I think that is not what we want in a commander-in-chief and a president. But I think there's something deeper here that is even more concerning to me. You know, folks tomorrow are going to go to the polls and make a judgment on who their president should be. And one of those candidates, Donald Trump, literally can't pass the test that we set for our children, right? I mean, I'm not even talking to you as a governor, just as a father of four. You know, I'm a person of deep faith. We raise our children to love thy neighbor. I think that's a pretty universal teaching. And yet this guy running for president of the United States can't pass the simple test we set for our children, the way we try and raise our children. And I think you saw that, you know, last week in Madison Square Garden. And I think you've seen that throughout his political career. He likes to attack other people. He does not love thy neighbor. And it makes us all less safe. It's very, very dangerous. The good news is the people have it in their hands now to make a decision. And I think we should not go back to that type of dangerous, destructive politics. Instead, move forward with a more positive, hopeful, inclusive vision of Kamala Harris.
Absolutely. Now, of course, we were excited to hear that you were in the running for the vice presidential position. And we, of course, the choice was made. And I heard your rallying cry at the Leah Chorus in full support of the Harris-Waltz ticket. And of course, you know, I would let you know that I was thrilled because we got a good governor here, and so I don't know if I was really ready to let you go yet.
I don't think anybody was ready to let him go. They were like, we want to hold on to him.
That it wouldn't have been a wonderful thing.
Oh, you're so nice.
At night that you wouldn't have been, of course, as gracious as you are. But clearly, Pennsylvania is pivotal to how this election will end. With the vice president stomping here, everybody doing it from Hollywood on down, why is Pennsylvania so important?
Look, I think Pennsylvania is the swingiest of all swing states, right?
And
it also has, you know, it's super close, and it also has the most electoral votes based on the fact that we've got the largest population. So basically, in simple terms, we are the most populous of the swing states out there. And I think it is wonderful that Pennsylvanians have this power and have this ability to affect the outcome of the election. I think, you know, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump don't agree on much, but this is one thing they do agree on. That is, Pennsylvania goes, that is likely determinative of who the next president of the United States is. And so we've got a lot of power here in Pennsylvania. And I just want to encourage everybody listening to make your plan to vote tomorrow if you haven't already voted by mail. It is critically important that your voice be heard. And if this election is as close as some of the polls, you know, suggest, your vote could be the difference in not only who wins in Pennsylvania, but who is the next president of the United States.
Wow.
Without question. My next question is in regards to 2016, Pennsylvania went red. The startling reality of that. What would that do for us as Pennsylvanians as well, should that become the case? And not just with the president, but also with our senator, Bob Casey.
Well, Bob Casey is an outstanding senator and deserves reelection. Putting aside the obvious chaos of Donald Trump, you know, that we talked about at the top of the show here, there's some really practical things I hope your listeners are paying attention to. Let's start with healthcare. Donald Trump has said he wants to do away with what's known as Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, right? It's like one of his typical talking points. It's not just political rhetoric. Think about this for a minute. 1.2 million Pennsylvanians get their health care from Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. 1.2 million out of 13 million total Pennsylvanians. So you have two guys, right? Donald Trump and Dave McCormick running on a platform of doing away with your health care. And then two folks, Kamala Harris and Bob Casey, who are on the side of protecting access to health care. So look, I mean, even if you've got, you know, maybe different views on Trump or whatever, you got to be thinking like, who the hell's going to make sure that I shouldn't say hell with you, Archbishop.
That's all right.
Who the heck?
It's in the Bible, so you're good.
Yeah, it's clearly in the Bible.
Okay, all right, that's fair. I mean, who the heck's on your side there if one side's trying to take away your health care and the other side's trying to protect it, right? So that is a tangible, practical thing. Here's another thing. I mean, you've seen us do extraordinary work on repairing our infrastructure. Right. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you saw what we did on I-95.
Yes.
We have also repaired 500 more miles of roads than we did the year before. Pennsylvania this year replaced and repaired more deficient bridges than any state in the entire country. We are connecting people to the internet who never had high-speed internet before. We are ripping up the old pipes that have lead in it and putting new pipes in the ground that are not carrying lead into our drinking water. Why do I cite those infrastructure things? Because those are things that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris put in place that Bob Casey voted for that the other side wants to do away with. They all voted against it. So I cite that as an example, right? If you care about your healthcare, if you care about your infrastructure, you care about your drinking water, you care about being able to get on the internet, these are stark differences between both sides. And so I would encourage people, if you're still undecided, thinking about what to do tomorrow, think about it in terms of who's going to have your best interests at heart. And I think it's Kamala Harris and Bob Casey, not Donald Trump and Dave McCormick.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Governor Shapiro, in closing, what is your call to action overall? I'm just very curious because the public needs to know. People love you in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and all throughout the United States because they know who you are. They know what you do. But what would be your call to action?
I guess I would say two things. One, picking up on what I just said, vote your interests here, right? And I think Kamala Harris has your interests at heart, and Donald Trump has his own interests at heart. I think there is something deeper, and you'll forgive me. I'm going to do a little bit of a history lesson here, if you'll indulge me.
Absolutely.
You know, we are in Pennsylvania, as I said at the top, you know, kind of the swingiest of all swing states. But we're not new to playing a pivotal role in protecting our democracy and our freedom. I mean, it started here in Philly 2.5 centuries ago when a band of patriots went into Independence Hall and signed what is now known as our Constitution. Now, let's be clear. The Constitution was an imperfect document. The Constitution did not include a whole bunch of people, including folks who were on this conversation right now. But the beauty of this Constitution is that it set us on a path of self-determination, where we, the people, would be the ones who would get to determine our own destiny. And throughout history, we've grown more free. We've grown more tolerant. We've grown more inclusive because we, the people, have done this hard work. Why do I share that story with you? Because after signing the Constitution, one of those signatories walked out onto the cobblestone streets of Philadelphia.
That's right.
His name was Ben Franklin.
That's right.
And a woman walked over to Franklin. Think about the image here. A woman who didn't have the right to vote in this Constitution walks over to Franklin and says to him, Mr. Franklin, hey, what do we have here, a monarchy or a republic? And Franklin said something really important. He said, we have a republic if you can keep it. Those five words, if you can keep it, that has been our charge for the last 248 years, a responsibility to keep it. And while the nation has gone through change and we have perfected our union, and God knows we have a long way to go, it's always been we, the people, with the power in our hands to make change. And so I would say to everybody, you know, listening, there's a whole lot of people, our ancestors, those who came before them, who some fought on battlefields so you'd have the right to vote. Some sat down at a lunch counter so you could stand up and cast your ballot tomorrow in Philadelphia. And I would just say to you, understand the powerful responsibility you have that emanates from that conversation Franklin had with a woman on the cobblestone streets of Philadelphia 2.5 centuries ago. This is bigger than just Kamala Harris. This is about all of us and the kind of country we want to build for ourselves. And it is my hope that people appreciate not just the power they have as Pennsylvanians, but the responsibility they have as Pennsylvanians to do this hard work. And I hope they get to the polls tomorrow and vote.
Thank you so much for that. It was inspiring for me, and I'm grateful to hear about that history. And certainly I will share with my children generations to come. I had not heard that before now, but I thank you for sharing that. And of course, we're grateful for any time you can squeeze to come on the Bishop Mary Show. And we certainly are proud of you as our governor. And well, folks, you heard it.
Thank you.
From the head man of the state.
That's right.
You better get out there and vote.
Do it.
Governor
God
Shapiro,
bless you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you for your blessing.
Well, another guest we're having this morning here on the Bishop Mary Show, the day before Election Day. Y'all know him. Y'all seen him. I have. He's a comedian. He's a good guy, too. And he's willing to come and say hello to the Philadelphia audience here of the Bishop Mary Show. None other than comedian Don Cheadle. Good morning.
Hello, how are you? I've rarely been called a comedian, but I'll take it. I mean, I do have a Comedy Award, Golden Globe. I guess you can call me that. I'm about to clown for sure now.
Well, I mean, you know, comedy, laughter makes the heart go round. And you got to always be ready for such a thing. And I love to laugh. And you have, of course, have a stellar career. And we are grateful for you. And we thank God for you as well. My co-host, Brother Marcus, is here.
How are you? It's so nice to have this opportunity to meet you at such a time as this.
Likewise. Salutations.
So
I guess my first question, what makes it so important that someone of your stature comes into the play to say, hey, folks, we need to get it right? You know, what inspires you to tell the masses, all of your fans and friends, that, you know, what encourages you to say, hey, man, we got to get this right?
Well, I think there's never been a more stark contrast between candidacies since I've been alive, and seeing the ways in which, you know, things are being communicated. I think we have to take very seriously. I don't know how many people that are listening were able to see, you know, Trump's rally at the Madison Square Garden and the kind of hatred and divisiveness and just bigotry that was spewed from that stage was so, to me, very telling and very clear and a very stark contrast to what I see coming from MVP. And, you know, talking about hopefulness versus hopelessness and rage versus, you know, love and wanting people to all come together. It's just a really stark contrast. And that was just one day. I mean, everything up until this moment to me has been very clear, from, you know, the elevator, the golden escalator ride down to today. It's been one clear path from that other guy about, you know, who and what he wants to be and the people that he speaks to versus, you know, what we on this other side are talking about and who and what we want to be, aspiration versus just the rage and viciousness on the other side.
You know, I got to say this, you are definitely our Iron Man of the African-American community.
Absolutely. And I jokingly said he was a comedian, but I meant to say it, you know, of course he is an established actor.
Oh, absolutely. But he's funny also.
He's funny very too. Very funny. I think the best role I loved you in was Hotel Rwanda.
Oh, my God.
That was a powerful role.
Thank you
and,
very much.
And that still stays with me today because it lets me know that we're still in a fight. And we got to know how to fight. Well, I'm from North Philly, so I was raised to know how to fight. Let me tell you something.
Listen. Y'all got the fighting thing down pat, okay? And that's one of the reasons why I'm here. Obviously, this is a battleground state, very important to this election. And, you know, I think that often we take for granted or we devalue the power of our voice through our vote. And, you know, thinking that we don't matter and that it's really not that important is something that's been used to continue to keep you on the sidelines. And if it didn't matter that much, they wouldn't be trying to take it away from you.
Come on,
you know,
son.
We wouldn't be talking about gerrymandering. We wouldn't be talking about redlining. We wouldn't be talking about all of the different, you know, the challenges that are already being set up to do it, to go to court. The person saying, you know, him saying that he'll agree with the outcome if he wins, only if he wins. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very clear to me. I'm quite surprised, actually, that it's this close, that we're even arguing it in this way, that it's not absolutely clear who is for what and where we personally stand in the battle.
Well, it does speak to me because as an African-American woman who has voted since I began at 18 years ago. No, I'm proud. Yeah. I should say proud. Absolutely. Over 40 years absolutely. Now of voting and thankful to God for it. There is this conversation about the black men who do not want to support Madam VP.
Yes.
And it's becoming a very big hot topic of division, shall I say, in some of the circles I'm around. What could you speak to that about?
Well, listen, if we lose this race, it won't be because of the numbers of black men not showing up at the polls. We know that 80% of black men and black women, probably a large number of black women, in fact, will be voting for Kamala Harris president. If we want to challenge, not to like make it something that is, you know, in some way that we're accusatory, but the percentages and the numbers that are going to be the most damning for us are white women and white men.
Wow.
So, and I do think this narrative is a bit overblown that black men are not going to be supporting Kamala Harris. I think, you know, we've seen that these polls that have been flooding the internet and the media and the waves lately, a lot of them have been generated by the GOP to do exactly what you're talking about, to drive a wedge between these communities and have us, you know, battling between ourselves and not really keeping our eyes and our focus on what it is we need to be keeping it on. So again, these are tactics that have been done for you know, many, many elections prior to this one. But I think this one is the one that's the most stark for us. And I just hope that people educate themselves and take this man at his word when he talks about having, you know, one really violent day where the cops can do whatever they want and you know, getting rid of any sort of, you know, accountability for police officers. Like, who do you think is going to be targeted from that?
Like,
who do you think he's talking about? You know, who do you think Project 2025 is talking about? Policing, women, minorities, black people, disenfranchised, LGBTQ community. This, he's coming after people that are not his friends. And that's what it is.
Wow, that's heavy. You know, we have a lot of questions, but we know that you're limited with time, and we don't want to hold you up. I just want to make it very clear, America, we are talking to somebody who's got a lot of accolades, Tony Awards, Grammys, and all these things. And, you know, you're a musician and a singer and songwriter. At this pivotal moment in history, what song comes to mind that you think that would inspire us?
Let's just keep singing freedom. I mean, I think that song was picked by the campaign for a very good reason. And I think we just need to realize that that is literally on the line. This is not, you know, I take Donald Trump at his word. I take his campaign at his word. Mm-hmm. When his name appears over 300 times and, you know, the Project 2025 that he says he's disavowing and doesn't have any connection to, and the architects of that are people that are in positions to be in his cabinet, I think it's pretty clear where he stands. And I hope people just understand that really that freedom and justice and equality and autonomy, all of these things are on the ballot. And if you don't show up, you really don't have a right to complain about it. You just, you know, staying at home, sitting on your hands is a vote for Donald Trump. So understand what's on the line. Be clear about your voice and your power and the effect that you can actually have, especially in this state where it's going to matter more than many other states. So I just hope people take this as serious as it is.
Well, clearly it is important.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly have appreciated all of you and your colleagues who have come in Pennsylvania to kind of get off the screen set, so to speak, and be tangible with the people to say this is as important to you as it is to me. Sometimes there's that
Absolutely.
Great divide. There's that great gulf between us. But for you and your colleagues and Carrie and Robert and Leonardo and them others that are here to say, hey, this is real, y'all, and it's going to be affecting all of us.
Yeah.
I want to commend you for taking
Absolutely.
Your time to do it, especially coming to our state of Pennsylvania. And I hope that if you ever come back this way, you'll holler at an OG.
And, come on in.
You know, you'll come back on the Bishop Mary Show, and we certainly would love to see you at any other time in which you're either doing or proclaiming, because we have to learn how to support each other, especially with what's to come. I said to my church on yesterday, and as a pastor, I have to be transparent, but I was clear with them that either way, there's going to be some hell that's coming. If we win,
that's right.
We're going to get a backlash. And if we lose, there will be some kind of a slaughter we've never seen. So we better gear up our boots. And as grandma would say, get them boots to step in, baby, and get them all together and unify like never before. So I want to personally say that to you. And from one musician to another, because you are in a saxophonist and I'm a trombonist, so
We were not too far from each other in a band or an orchestra.
I played
That's
a fiddle
right.
in the ukulele.
Your slides were hitting me in the back of the head in the section the whole time. I was like, why did they have to sit right behind the saxophone?
Oh, man.
Boy, you are great. Thank you so much for being
kind on the Bishop Mary Show. We appreciate
And please be safe and careful.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll be hoping for victory. But don't forget, vote. 100. Tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Please vote.
Thank you.
Vote.
Rock that vote.
Wake up all the doctors. Make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all
the hell.
They don't have so bad long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Yeah.
Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we can do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, cause they do every time. Yeah. You and me.
Well,
all right.
That is Wake Up Everybody. And of course, that is the John Legend and Melanie Fiona version, which I thought was fabulous.
I love it.
Yeah, they did it right here in Philly. Come on, somebody. But we are honored and quickly, and it is packed day. We are grateful to have the chair.
Yes.
Come on, Mr. Chairman.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're about to go to church.
The Pennsylvania State Democratic Committee. And I'm telling you, every time he gets a mic, he gets a preacher. And I told him he's going to have Reverend before his name before long. Amen. And I wouldn't mind doing the ordination.
I know, right? I'll be right there front and center.
But we are grateful to have our state senator who is leading us on the Democratic Committee on the state level. Good morning, Senator Street.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Archbishop Mary, it's always good to be with you, and it's always good to talk to the people on your show.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to get right into it because we know you have a very busy schedule. So, Senator, my question is, why is Pennsylvania so crucial to this election?
Well, look, we are the state most likely to determine the outcome of who's president. Given the way the Electoral College works and we're the state with the largest number of we're the battleground state with the largest number of Electoral College votes at stake. It is likely will determine the outcome of who's president, but will also the state who has a good chance of determining who's in control of the U.S. Senate and who is in control of the United States House. We have Bob Casey running for re-election, and his election could determine who controls the U.S. Senate. And that's critically important as we think about not only sending Kamala Harris to the White House, but her ability to appoint federal judges that reflect her values and our values.
Absolutely. Now, Senator, you have crisscrossed throughout the state, and I'm certain that you have been on very campaign trails. I've seen you almost everywhere when Vice President Harris is here, of course, with the senator. We also have some state elections that are crucial. What are the ones that people need to be reminded of in their voting on tomorrow?
Well, our elections for state senator and for state representative are happening, and also our three row offices. Attorney General, which is incredibly important because the Attorney General is the one who, under the state constitution, enforces folks' rights, basic rights. And we are looking to elect Eugene DePasquale Attorney General. Malcolm Kenyatta, my former staff person, is like a little brother to me. Malcolm Kenyatta is running for Auditor General, and that's the fiscal watchdog. He wants to make sure that he wants to return school audits and make sure that our kids are getting money funded properly. And then Aaron McClellan for Treasurer as well. So those are our state row offices. But then we talk about Madam Joanna McClinton as speaker. She's mm-hmm. only speaker as long as we can have a Democratic majority in the state house. And we have a chance to flip the state Senate as well. And for any listeners in Harrisburg or Pittsburgh or Erie, you have critical races there that are targeted as being that could possibly determine the outcome of who's in control of the state Senate.
Of course, there was a barbershop talk not too long ago where P. Harris came to talk about, because there's this myth that black men don't vote for black women in leadership.
Yeah, that's interesting. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, look, let's look at the evidence. First of all, let's talk about black men voting for women. Black men were the second largest group to vote for Hillary Clinton. It was white women who let Hillary Clinton down. It's 52% of white women in 2016 voted for Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. Black men voted overwhelmingly for Hillary Clinton. We have to look at black men have voted for overwhelmingly for Sherelle Parker for mayor. And if you look around the country, there's no shortage of black women in black communities in positions of power and authority. But we can start right here. So looking at the obvious, our mayor, I think that there Donald Trump tried to create a bandwagon and then hope someone would jump onto it by creating a myth that black men were going to vote overwhelmingly for him and then hoping that people wanted to jump on his bandwagon. But I think it will fail in the end. Black men will, as they always do, be the second largest, if not the largest, voting group for the Democratic Party. It's hard for black men to pull out a second place because black women are always in the first place for the Democratic Party. But the only group of people that are more supportive of Kamala Harris than black men are black women. And the only group of people who are supportive of the Democratic Party more than black men are black women. And that is not a new phenomenon.
Thank you so much for that, Brother Marcus.
All right. Well, you know, the citywide election satellite offices, you know, why are they necessary and how can people get to them?
Well, look, the satellite offices, you need to return a mail-in ballot. They're at 12 different locations. You can go to the city commissioner's website and you can find the locations. So the County Board of Elections website, or you can call the County Board of Elections, or you can call my office at 215-227-6161, and someone can direct you to the nearest one near you. I voted at one of those satellite offices right at 2301 North Broad at Broad and Dolphin. I think it's they're very helpful. And for people who are trying to return mail-in ballots, you want to get them in before 8 p.m. tomorrow so that they can be counted. So you can't put them in the mail if you haven't already done it because they won't arrive on time. You need to take them to an early voting center. And there are 12 of them around the city, so they're conveniently spread out.
And what's your office number again?
My office is 215-227-6161.
Sounds like a commercial.
it was easy to do that. Senator, of course, there's a big rally tonight down on the Parkway with VP Harris. Of course, we're hearing about Oprah and a whole lineup of musical artists that will be there. What, as our state Democratic chair, is the single most important message that the voters need to hear?
I think the single most important message is that your vote matters. You can vote. And by the way, parenthetically, I want to throw in, there's been a lot of talk about ex-offenders not having the right to vote. And in many states, that is true. But in Pennsylvania, if you are out on the streets, walking around, you can vote. You can vote, whether you're on parole or probation or waiting a hearing. If you're out on the streets, you can vote. And so you can vote. And we want to let folks know, you have the power. People are talking about the people in power. We're the people in power. For whatever reason, God put us in this moment. We're in this moment. It's not people in New York. It's not people in California. It's not people in Alabama or Mississippi. It's people in Pennsylvania. We have the power. And the group of people that folks are saying have the best chance of determining the outcome of this election are black folk. So black folk in Pennsylvania, by merely turning out, can take over the direction of this country and indeed world. I've had people call me from Japan, from London, from all over the world, concerned about what's going to happen in this election. Concerned, and they want, and what I need you to know to my brothers and sisters who are here in Pennsylvania, you have the power to make the difference. Let's use the power. Let's make a difference.
Absolutely.
All right.
My last question, and of course, I know that you have many, but what is your favorite quote that keeps you continuing to serve? As a U.S. senator was on just a few moments before you, and he stated that on the finance building in Harrisburg, there was a sign that says, "Public service is given in trust and accepted in honor." He said that keeps him grounded with what he's chosen to do in public life. For you, what would that phrase be?
Well, inscripted on the walls of Morehouse College, there are many Dr. King quotes. But the one that comes to mind for me is the judge. You can judge at the test of a man or a woman is not where they stand in times of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of conflict and controversy. We are in such times. We will prove our measure by what we do.
Mm. Wow. Well, Senator, thank you. I see you're in your car. Please be safe. I know you're running all over the place, but we're looking forward to having... He's letting us know he's doing the same thing.
Absolutely. Following the rules.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for squeezing us in today. You know you have a friend here at the Bishop Mary Show. Anytime that you want to come on and talk, and maybe post-election, we'll have another conversation about what's next. Thank you again. Have a great rest of the day. Thank you.
Have a blessed day, Senator.
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right. Right now, we're getting ready to do Sports Talk, Terry. You know it is everything sports here on the Bishop Mary Show. Good morning, son.
Hey, Terry.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. On Sports Talk, Terry, with your Philly Sports Minute. So it started out as a 7.5-point spread, and at halftime looked like it was going to be an easy win. Turned into a battle to hold on the game. And this is one of those games where talent outperformed coaching, as there were some very questionable plays going for it on fourth down, not doing the tush push, going for two-point conversions that you didn't need, taking points off the board. And then the turnover started to creep back in. And at one point, what was a three-score game quickly turned into a one-score game with Jacksonville having the ball. But the defense got some stops, and riding the back of Saquon Barkley, the Eagles were able to hold on for a 28-23 win. The Cardiac Eagles did it again. They're now tied with the Washington Commanders at 6-2, headed into Cowboy Week, which is always important in this city, as the Eagles head to Dallas this Sunday for a matchup against Dallas, followed by a matchup against the upstart 6-2, Jaden Daniels-led Washington Commanders the following week. So two very important divisional games. The Cowboys seem to be falling apart, so most folks expect the Eagles to win that game pretty handily. In other news, the Philadelphia Sixers continue to falter. They have the second-worst record in the conference, just one win on the season, and it doesn't get easier. They have the Phoenix Suns, the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Los Angeles Lakers this week, followed by the Charlotte Hornets. So hoping to get Embiid and Paul George back soon, but right now not looking very, very good. And then lastly, the Philadelphia Flyers have shown some signs of life, able to get some wins, looking to continue to build on their rebuilding season. That's all we have for the Local Sports Minute this week. Make sure you guys follow us every week right here on the Bishop Mary Show for your weekly sports updates. And you can follow me on all social media platforms at Sports Talk Terry.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for sports. Up now is our Congressman Jim Clyburn. And joining with us here on the Bishop Mary Show, we are grateful to have the esteemed senior congressman from the great state of South Carolina, none other than the Honorable James Clyburn. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Brother Marcus, my co-host, is here, and he's going to start off with the first question.
Yes, I'm glad that you're with us today.
Very good.
My first question would be...
Well, thank you.
How important is it for Senator Casey's reelection, and why is it so important?
Well, I think that everybody is quite aware that the Senate is something of an anomaly that allows issues to be filibustered to death, not even brought to the floor, unless you can garner 60 votes. Mm. And when the discussion comes, it takes only 51 votes to pass the issue. So that means Senator Casey is doubly important. First of all, we need to have as many Democrats as we possibly can in order to break filibusters. And then, of course, when you have a Senate that is evenly divided, as the United States Senate is now, 51 to 49 in our favor, you got to have 51 votes in order to pass the issue. Mm. And then Senator Casey has demonstrated in his service that he has the wherewithal to be exactly what we call ourselves progressives would like to see in a legislator. And his opponent is making it very clear that he is everything that we would not like to see in the United States Congress. So this election is extremely important. We've got to hold on to this seat, because this seat could very well determine whether or not we have 51 votes or 50.
Yes, sir. I'm grateful that you shared that. I was privileged to be at a private event at a home in Overbrook, and I heard you sharing the story that came to mind that I had not heard of before. But you were speaking about the power of the vote, and one sure. vote could make the difference. Would you mind just taking a minute
one
or two
vote.
Just to share that historical perspective with us?
Oh, I'll be glad to. You know, one of the things that all of us are familiar with, especially in the African-American community, and that is the aftermath of the Civil War. Now, when the Civil War came to a close, and we all know it was fought over the institution of slavery, the people who were pro-slavery did not give up their fight.
Mm.
And we went into a presidential election of 1876, and the big issue was whether or not we will continue as formerly enslaved to remain free, or will not the clock will get turned back. And the issue was between two candidates, Samuel Tilden from New York, Rutherford B. Hayes from Ohio. And when the election was over, no one had a majority in the Electoral College. At the time, you needed 185 votes to be elected president. You need 270 today. But back then, it was 185.
Mm.
Well, Tilden had the most votes, but he only had 184 in the Electoral College, missing it by one vote. And because of that, the election got thrown into the House of Representatives. And when the election got thrown into the House of Representatives, the House was having great difficulty trying to figure out how to resolve the issue. So the House appointed a 15-person committee, and that committee was supposed to talk with the two candidates, look at the issues, and recommend to the House as to what the House should do to resolve it. Well, when they talked to Hayes, Hayes told them, if you give me your votes, I will have enough to get to 185, and I will get rid of Reconstruction, bring it into it, take all the troops out of the South, and leave the formerly enslaved up to your creative devices, is what I call them. Well, that's what they did. They voted 8-7 to give those votes to Hayes. That took place in the month of March, and next month, April, Hayes withdrew all the troops, brought an end to Reconstruction, started Jim Crow. And so people need to know that Reconstruction came to an end by one vote, 185-184.
Wow.
Jim Crow began by one vote, 8-7. That's the importance of one vote. And that one vote on these kinds of issues in the United States Senate could very well be Bob Casey or his opponent. So we've got to decide which person we want to be casting the one vote that couldn't make a difference. And so when people tell you, my one vote don't count, you have to remind them,
that's right,
your one vote will count, and will count in the most serious of ways. I often tell people, as I said on yesterday, I'm the 9th African-American to serve in Congress from South Carolina, which means there were 8 before me. The problem is there are 95 years between number 8 and number 9. And that's because of that one vote on two different occasions. 8-7 in one, 185-184 in the other. One vote does make a difference.
Wow. Now, we here in Pennsylvania, I realize that is pivotal because they say, so goes Pennsylvania, so goes the election. In your experience, and of course you're a seasoned leader in the Congress, and you represent your great state of South Carolina, where my mama's people come from. I said that to you when we briefed Spokely. I said, my mama from Anderson. So I know, you know, he's, oh, yes, yes,
oh, yeah.
yes, great place.
Yeah, I have relatives up in Anderson County, the little town of Belton.
Oh.
And so I'm very familiar
with that.
Outside of my district, but I do have family there.
Oh, that's great, because, you know, who knows? We could
yeah.
be cousins or something. I don't know. Back
know.
Then, everybody was family.
Hey, uncle.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in my that's final it. Question to yeah. you, Congressman, Pennsylvania, and you've given a good reason why we need to return Senator Casey to the U.S. Senate. How pivotal, and of course you're here along with a plethora of other people trying to encourage those that seem to be apathetic, particularly in Pennsylvania, to get out the vote and to use their voice as their vote for
our election day. What is your call to action for us?
My call to action is simply this. We need a president who will continue this trek that we are currently on toward a more perfect union. We need to elect Kamala Harris, but Kamala Harris needs a supporting cast. She has to have a Senate that she can count on to carry out her agenda. If she is going to be able to create those 3 million new homes in her first term, she needs to have a Senate that will approve those. I always tell people the president proposes, the Senate, the Congress disposes. So whatever the president proposes, it's got to pass the House and the Senate. And we need people in the Senate to ensure that that agenda gets approved. So if she wants to expand the $35 per month ceiling that she now has on prescription drugs for seniors, she wants to expand that to everybody, not just seniors. Even if you're 50 years old, and as my wife, my late wife did, she was paying $600 a month for her insulin. That's now capped at $35 for seniors.
Wow.
Kamala Harris wants to cap that at $35 a month for everybody. Even little children born with juvenile diabetes, they won't have to pay more than $35 a month for their insulin. That is the kind of program that will fight inflation, bringing the cost of prescription drugs down, to continue the $2,000 a year copayment for seniors. Kamala Harris is dedicated to that. And you've got her opponent who wants to eliminate all of that. So we need a vote in the Senate to support that agenda. Bob Casey is committed to that. His opponent is against that. It's an easy choice for Pennsylvanians to make. I don't know why they're making it so difficult.
Because even sometimes when we think we have the answers, we always have to buck against it. But trust me, until it becomes real to you or someone in your family, that's when it values. And I didn't understand it. And, of course, this was before now when my late mother developed it when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I'm telling you, that insulin, that, you know, all of the things that come with that was a bearer on us. But grateful, I'm happy now that because of that, it can be a blessing to somebody else.
Yes,
well, certainly,
absolutely.
Congressman, we just thank you so much. I know you're on the run. Everybody's waiting on Election Day.
Yes.
I know you're going to cast yours. I'm going to cast mine. Brother Marcus going to cast his. And we're going to make sure we keep on singing the same song. So I'm humbled and honored for you to come again to the Bishop Mary Show. The first time you came was in 2020, and I'm humbled that you decided to grace this OG one more time.
And we're so glad that you were with us on today, and we so appreciate you. We really and truly appreciate
you. Thank you both very, very much.
Yes, sir. You be safe and well.
Have an awesome day.
Let's not wait so long for the next one.
All right. We sure won't.
We're going to hold you to it.
So long. And that is going to give us a wrap.
Yeah.
We had a full show today. We want to thank our Governor, Josh Shapiro. We want to thank our U.S. Senator, Bob Casey. We want to thank actor-singer Don Cheadle. We want to thank our state senator, Cherie Street, chair of the Pennsylvania Democratic Committee. And lastly, Honorable Jim Clyburn, who is the one who said helped Biden to become our president, even on today. But
so
we wanted to end
man.
This on one moment to take the next 30 seconds to honor a man who many of us have benefited by his music prowess.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the passing of 91-year-old Quincy Jones.
Yes, we remember him, his life, his music, and everything. He was an American record producer, songwriter, composer, arranger. And his career spanned over 70 years with 28 Grammys. And, you know, he had over 80 nominations in his career. So he will definitely be missed.
Absolutely. But his music will continue to carry on. In the meantime, we're going to close out today by saying that your voice is your vote and it matters. So please go wherever you need to go. Get all the information you can to make an informed decision. I'm going to be casting mine at the polls tomorrow personally, and I'm going to be taking some folks with us. So
yes,
do what is right. Come on. And as I always say, if you can't be good, be careful.
Be careful.
And if you can't be careful, then don't do it. It may not be worth it.
Absolutely.
Until next time, thank you for listening to the Bishop Mary Show with my co-host, Brother Marcus.
Yes, and remember, rock that vote.
Please stay well, be well, and be blessed. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.